Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Oh, goodness. I don't even know how to react. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I have to admit, welcome everybody inside the playbook for a Tuesday. My name is John Rook. It is strange, to say the least. It's a little bit surreal, almost, what we've been going through over the course of the last, well, almost, what is it, about 40 hours now since the Indianapolis game completed in Indy on Sunday. I'm looking through some of the emails here early and obviously see that there are many of you that still have yet to have yours read, which we will get to. Those of you that have already specifically fired off your missives for me in the program, if you've listened to it at all on Tuesdays, we like to call it Nitpick Tuesday. Where we just basically kind of just pick nits at some of the little things that went wrong, some of the things we'd like to see corrected. Even if it's a Patriots win, we still find a way to pick nits because that's what we do. We like to find the bad in everything that's good. Obviously, there's a lot to nitpick over today, and Nitpick Tuesday indeed today, and we're going to allow everybody to do that. If you have not had your chance to sound off about the game, let me suggest to you that today is it, because quite frankly, as I just said with the guys on PFW, tomorrow we kind of turn our attention to the Jets. And I know, I absolutely can guarantee that once these players step in here tomorrow for practice, for training, for team meetings, it will be full speed ahead. They will not give Sunday night another thought until they get a chance to face the Colts in the playoffs, which is likely to happen. It's likely to happen. Just won't be here. It'll probably be there again. And we'll deal with that as it comes. And that's kind of what we're going to do here tomorrow as well. So today is the day to get it out. Might we refer back to it? Possibly, if history dictates that we should. But today is the day to get it off your chest. Today is the day to gripe, to vent, to whine, to moan, to bitch, to do whatever you want to do. Today's the day to do that. I've got two important questions to ask you, though, in terms of our email topics today. Yes, I want you to fire off your nitpicks, and there were many others that we could go with from Sunday night's game, and that what will always be memorable 35-34 loss on Sunday night. You know, the funny thing about it is that I felt really good about the game going in. I really did. I thought the Patriots would win by a touchdown, maybe two. And sure enough, that's the way most of the game played until very late. So I've got two thoughts for you here today. Number one, the obvious question is, and it's a simple answer. So I want everybody possible, because what I'd really like to do is take a sort of a random poll here of all of our listeners today. So even if you've never emailed the show before and you're just streaming it, you know, at the office, or you don't have time to whatever, you've got time to send me a message to vote. I'm looking for a one-word answer. Okay? That's all there is. Play or punt? Which do you side with? Play, meaning going forward on fourth and two, or punt the ball? I'd really like to know how those who listen to this show, how you feel about the play. Many of you have probably already sounded off, and some of you probably already had your emails read and you've gotten it off your chest, and maybe there are even some of you who are ready to move on today. And frankly, I understand. I completely understand that. It's still, for those that are living outside of the Boston, New England area here, it's still a huge dominating topic of conversation on local sports radio. As you would imagine, if you listened to any part of Patriots Monday yesterday at all, that's all anybody wanted to talk about, and it's still all anybody wants to talk about today. So taking that into consideration, I'm sure there are many of you who live outside of the area that still need to talk about it. Okay, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's okay, too. I understand. We'll see you tomorrow. But we're going to spend today kind of venting a little bit more. So I want you to ask yourself, do you call the play that Bill Belichick called, or do you punt? That's what I'm looking for, play or punt. So it's a one-word answer, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. If you'd like to call, you can do so, 508-543-7482. If you want to vent over the phone, start venting. Start dialing, start venting. But play or punt. And we're going to take a little running score as best as we can throughout the course of the program, and let's just find out how you really feel. Even if you've already emailed the programs, even if you've never emailed before, I need you to participate today. I want to find out this answer, a little social experiment, if you will, all right? So play or punt, that's what I want you to vote on. The other thing I want you to consider today, I can't take credit for this idea, because I actually saw it on ESPN yesterday, but I thought it was a good enough question to repeat here, because I don't know how many of you saw it. I think it was one of their Sports Nation polls. But they listed three plays in New England sports history where clearly the coach made a major gaffe. And because of that, the plays have gone down in not only New England infamy, but sports infamy. I mean, these are plays that anybody in this country, anybody in, even outside of this country, if you're a sports fan in the United States or of the United States of major professional sports, you've probably heard of these plays. Number one, 1986, the ball rose through Bill Buckner's legs, okay, for the Red Sox. Number two, 2003. Grady Little fails to remove Pedro Martinez from the mound in the American League Championship Series from the Yankees. Yankees go on and win. Knock the Red Sox out of a potential playoffs, out of a spot in the World Series, maybe even a World Series win in 03 rather than 04. And number three, of course, Bill Belichick going for it on 4th-and-2 against the Indianapolis Colts in what television was billing as the quote-unquote rivalry of the decade. And so what Sports Nation asked was, which of the three is the more grievous error? Think about that for a moment. Which one is the more, here's a better phrase for you, egregious error on the part of the coach? Is it Belichick's call for 4th-and-2? Is it Grady Little's non-removing Pedro? Or is it John McNamara failing to replace Bill Buckner at first base in 1986. Which one do you think it is? Those of you that are anti-Belichick right now and feeling pretty hurtful and hateful and all that stuff, by all means, feel free to sound off, all right? So consider those two questions, all right? And I'd certainly like to know your opinions on them here today. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. All right, so there you go. Two things to chew on here early in the program, and please take the time to give us a call here today or to write us, and we'll get to your emails. Now, that having been said, let me give you just my brief synopsis, because I want to spend the time mostly with you guys today. You heard some of it with Paul and Andy and Fred there just a couple of moments ago. Honestly, I'm pretty much lockstep with Paul on this one. If the play had gone right, we'd all be hailing this as a ballsy, gutsy, go for the jugular move by the coach and the coaching staff that worked out, and all is well in Patriot Nation. You held on and you won the game. Okay, that's great. They did the same thing similarly against Atlanta without near as much riding on it. And they obviously were successful then. At the time, I thought it was kind of nuts to do it. It worked out, so we didn't really follow up on it. This time, there's no doubt in my mind it was nuts to do it then. And let me remind you here, okay? This is all about opinion, all right? Am I qualified to comment on a coaching move by this staff? Well, if I'm not, then we might as well just shut this program down. We might as well shut web radio down. We might as well shut talk radio down. We might as well shut newspapers. Because, you know, what makes this world go round is opinion. And I realize opinions are like, you know what, everybody's got one. But opinion is what shapes sentiment. Opinion is what creates fandom or, you know, fanaticism. You know, and for those that say that they don't listen to opinion, I frankly would argue that I believe that they're not being totally truthful. Do I think that Bill Belichick listens to WEEI? Do I think that he listens actually to Patriots.com radio? Probably not. He doesn't have enough time in his day. He's too busy trying to work on a game plan to beat the next opponent. But when so many people rise up in arms and say that was bad or this was that or whatever, let me tell you something. It does get around. What you say does matter. Now, he may not hear you say it, but somebody's going to hear you say it, and that somebody else is going to tell it to somebody else, and somebody else is going to hear it, and it's eventually going to get back around to them. Public sentiment is not on your side. I don't really think he cares. Because he's been paid to do a job, that's why he has the job he has. And he really shouldn't care what we say. I don't think that'll affect his next move at all. In other words, next time he has a chance to go for fourth down, you know, and short, and whether he makes it or misses it, he's not going to say in the postgame, he said, well, you know what, because, you know, I shouldn't have gone for it on fourth and two against the Colts. I decided, you know what, I didn't want to piss off all the fans, so I decided not to go for it there. He's not going to ever say that, okay? If you're looking for him to say that, then you're not being realistic. I've been around this game long enough.
I never said that.
You probably didn't, Bill. I've been around this game long enough and covered this game for a little over 30 years now. Football has been a huge part of my life. Many of you know that I grew up in Texas, played it not very well, but loved the sport, still love the sport. Coached it a little bit on the youth level, but mostly have been a fan and mostly have covered it. I've spent lots of time in locker rooms. I've spent lots of time on sidelines. I spent 2 years in the old United States Football League. I've covered the NFL now for the better part of 25 years out of those 30. I mean, I've been around the game. Absolutely, okay? Been around the game, talked to a lot of coaches, talk to a lot of players. I think I understand it as well as anybody. I don't draw the plays. I leave that up to the coaches. But I think we're all entitled here to give an opinion. And so that's really all we're doing here. That's why we have our jobs here. With Patriots.com radio. We're paid to give you our opinion. We're paid to tell you what our impression is of what is going on around this football team, and then when there is news to report, we are paid to give you that as well. This is sort of we're kind of blurring the line between, you know, truth and opinion, which is a common problem in journalism nowadays anyway, as I'm sure many of you are aware. We're not trying to pass off opinion as truth here. This is still opinion first. And then when we do get, you know, fact, we do pass it on to you here. The opinion that I have, first of all, Sunday night I was pulling my hair out like most everybody else was as well. I certainly, and I cannot imagine, if you can tell me honestly that when the Patriots were lining up to go for it on fourth and two, you weren't looking at the television with your eyes bugged out or pulling your hair or screaming going, what the you know what are you doing, then I think you're lying. There's no way your initial reaction to this play was, oh, great job, Bill. That's the right call. There's no way. I would argue that there is no way you thought that. If you say you did, I think you're lying. Because I've since done a little bit of a full circle on this as well. And my first reaction was, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? My 14-year-old son Austin and I were sitting watching the game in our living room. And we both stood up and we screamed at the television, oh, my God, what are they doing? So that was my initial reaction. I realized that the common sense thing to do would have been to punt the football away. But even when you break it down, even when you break it down, and you look at the what's and the ifs and the hows and the and how comes and all that stuff, it keeps coming back to, Paul said it very well. I mean, and even Andy said it very well here. You want to give your team more than just one chance to win a game, because if you blow it on that one play, you've blown it. Whereas if you punt it, you're still going to give your defense probably a half a dozen plays, if not a few more than that, to have a chance to make a play. The odds numerically are in your favor if you punt the football. Now, I understand the whole warfare, go for the jugular, hey, let's stop them here while we can. I get all of that because I've made decisions like that before in my own life. But if you're really going to look at a situation, maybe that's part of the reason why they call all the stinking timeouts and they have anything left. I mean, that's just that burned me more than anything. You know, they're coming out of a timeout, and then Brady's walking over to the sideline, and they're calling another timeout. I'm like, what the hell is that? That pissed me off more than the play, to be quite honest with you. Very poor clock management. Nobody thought, and the answer was, well, we didn't think we'd have to use them. Well, of course not. Duh. I don't think you'd have made the call had you known you needed the timeout. This is why you always keep a timeout in your back pocket. You have to. You have to keep a timeout in your back pocket for inexplicable moments where brain cramps occur, or somebody lines up wrong, or you have to make a challenge, or the bizarre thing about it is they missed by a matter of seconds it being an automatic challenge inside of 2 minutes. So I just, you know, everything just conspired to go against the team. From the Maroney touchdown that wasn't, to the timeouts that were called that didn't need to be, to the missed fourth down opportunity. It was one bad play after another. The whole fourth quarter was just a complete and total abomination. I have since now given this some room to breathe. As I said here, what are we, 40 hours or so away from toward the end of that, 39 or so, whatever. And I am not ready to change my overall thought, just like Bill. In other words, you know, I still think he made the wrong move. I will respectfully disagree, just like Paul and a lot of you, I'm sure, believe that, you know, that was not the right move to make. You know, the mistakes that really hurt this team were made earlier in the quarter, from the timeouts to Maroney's fumble. If you score that touchdown that Maroney fumbled, it's a moot point. If you have a timeout left at the end, I think it's a moot point because, quite frankly, I believe on a replay, I think that got overturned because I think it was a poor spot of the football. That's my opinion. We'll obviously never know. You would need a reverse angle to see whether or not Kevin Falk actually pulled it in or had possession of it. I do believe it was a poor spot. I think the Patriots would have probably gotten it reversed had they had a timeout. It was that close. All we needed to do was see the football touch the line. That's all we needed to see. And it would have been reversed. It would have been irrefutable evidence. And, you know, we obviously never got to that point. So those two things set aside now, that's to me where the game was lost before, you know, going forward on fourth and two and missing. You know, you kind of, like I said, you can kind of see a trend formulating there. Even so, getting down to fourth and two, the other factor that Paul brought up, which I think is dead on, is you got to give the defense a chance to win this here. You have to have numbers on your side. And, you know, Peyton Manning had thrown some wounded ducks in that game. The Patriots obviously had come up with a couple of picks. So I'm thinking, you know, who's to say? I mean, yes, he had driven down the field on them and scored on their previous two possessions. I get that. But like Teddy Bruschi was so adamant about, you know, on ESPN, and he was actually on EEI earlier today, very passionate about it, you have to give those guys a chance to win it for you because that's their job. Don't take it out of their hands. Now, the players are going to have Bill's back on this, but I can't imagine there's a single defensive player in that locker room who was really happy at that decision. Can't imagine it. So now I think what you're going to do is you're going to cause, the next time a decision like this comes up, is you're going to cause some doubt in that locker room. Well, does Bill have faith in us? So, see, I think Bill just undercut him, his ability to be authoritative in that regard. And that's something that he's rarely, rarely done in 10 years. The only other time I can think of Bill making as big a gaffe as this one was when he cut Lori Malloy. Now, I think we all know how that turned out. It turned out great in the long run, right? But for that 1 week, there were people ready to fire him. And obviously losing that game 31-0 like they did, the last time, by the way, that Buffalo has beaten New England, it's turned out well since then. So I think what we have to do here is, again, I'm going to go back to it here, if he's your coach, in Bill we trust. Why? Well, because of the track record. And you say, what track record? They haven't won this or they haven't won that. Well, I mean, when there have been controversial plays like this in the past, and I call up the Lawyer Malloy instance, it turned out well in the long run, did it not?
Because it was really messed up.
And let's say, for instance, so they miss out on home field advantage throughout the playoffs, but this team somehow manages to get to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl again. Is anybody really going to remember this? We'll remember it just because we were all broken up at the time. But we'll all look back on it. We'll say, you know what? It ended up working out in the long run, and all is forgiven. So I think we have to allow this some more time before we can make an honest assessment whether or not he blew the call or made the right call. My initial inclination is he still made the wrong call. I think the Patriots, and again, it's just my opinion, I think the Patriots, had they punted, would have been able to find a way in those next six or seven plays, however long that the Colts would have had the ball. I think the Patriots find a way to make a play and they stop them, either through a pick or stop them on fourth down or whatever the case may be. You have to keep in mind now, they had to go for a touchdown. I can understand it almost a little bit more, as crazy as it sounds. I could almost understand a little bit more if it had been they only needed a field goal to tie it. Let's win it now. Even though, of course, if you turn the ball over there, all they have to do is run one play and kick it. But I could almost understand it. Here, I have a harder time fathoming because anything can happen in this game. And you have to have a little faith in your defense, in spite of the fact that the previous two drives, they had moved right down the field. See, I was yelling on those previous two drives because the defense was playing woefully soft. And admittedly, even Brandon Merriweather said as much a little bit yesterday, you know, that, yeah, we were playing soft. We're a bend but don't break defense. They were playing soft. They were trying not to give up the big play. And unfortunately, what they gave up was a couple of drives that, you know, narrowed the score and made everybody nervous. And then it actually gave the Colts an idea that, you know what, we can win this game. See, that's where the Patriots got away from being the Patriots. They didn't step on the jugular with the defense, and they could have. So while the offensive philosophy seems to be step on the jugular, the defensive philosophy is anything but. And that's what troubles me the most about this football team. For Bill Belichick not to have confidence in his defense, for him to not have confidence in the defense, that they can step on a jugular of the opponent just like he wanted the offense to do, it makes no sense whatsoever. It flies in the face of reason and flies in the face of logic. And that's why I don't agree with the call. It's that simple. You had numbers on your side. You have to give your team a chance to win it. You had more opportunities to win it if you punt the ball away rather than one or done. And yes, I think we'd still be questioning the call even if they had made it on Sunday. Smart football people will still question the call. All right, so there are my thoughts. I'm sure you have yours. Several of you have already shared. That's fantastic. We're going to get to all of these coming up here in just a couple of moments. But two questions I do want you to keep in mind here. Number one, it's a simple one-word answer. Play or punt? You make the call. You put yourself in Bill Belichick's shoes. And given the set of circumstances that you had, I want you to say, do you play or do you punt? Give me an answer. And we're going to see how everybody stacks up here. Number one. And number two, does this decision by Belichick rank up there with the greatest gaffes, coaching gaffes, in New England sports history? Does it rank up there with Grady Little failing to pull Pedro in 2003? Does it rank up there with John McNamara failing to pull Bill Buckner out of the lineup in 1986? Is it that big a mistake in your mind? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's get after it in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
John Rook inside the playbook here on a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. All right. Little chance to cleanse oneself today. Just try to get the bad stuff out of the mind. Let's put this behind us here. Obviously, I do believe that this will be a play that we'll remember for a long time. Obviously, it's not going to be in a positive sense either. But there can be somewhat cathartic reasoning behind this. And it's going to be a part of our history. It's going to be part of building character. And who knows if this team can somehow pull itself up by the old bootstraps and make something out of this season, then we can see where this would be more than just a character builder for the players or for the fans alike. It could be an incentive. It could be impetus. It could be encouragement. It could be that memory that just drives this team on to bigger and better things. And I think that, you know, we as Patriots fans, first and foremost, have to look at it like that right now, because there's just no other way to explain it. Because it defies description. It defies logic. It flies in the face of traditional football game planning. There's just no way. I mean, it's kind of like somebody who didn't know anything about football deciding, okay, let's run this play here without any regard at all to what the repercussions of the play would be should you fail. And that's kind of how it seemed like it was arrived at, too, which is why I'm still a little bit incredulous that it even happened. But okay, hey, you know what? It did. It absolutely did, and nothing else we can do about that. So let's find out how you think and how you believe. And so far we've gotten some great responses. If you're just logging on to the program, it's a very simple question today here on Nitpick Tuesday. Yes, if you got other nitpicks, please share. Please share, because there are a lot of things that we can tear apart here and look at and examine. But it's a simple question. Number one, play or punt, which one do you side with? Which side do you come down on? If you're Bill Belichick, which call do you make? If you were given the same set of circumstances, put yourself in his shoes at that time on Sunday night, and which call do you make? Do you go for it or do you punt it? Play or punt? That's question number one. And number two, does this play deserve to rank amongst the top three or even the number one all-time coaching gaffe in New England sports history? And as an example, I give you Grady Little failing to pull out Pedro in the 03 ALCS, John McNamara failing to replace Bill Buckner in the 1986 World Series, or Bill Belichick going forward on 4th-and-2 against the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, it's all fair game. Again, I saw that one on ESPN, I believe it was yesterday. And I thought it was worth it to repeat here, because I think it's an interesting question, and to find out how you come down on it and what side of it that you come down on. So do me a favor and answer those questions. And like I said, if you've never contributed to the program before, if you've never taken the time to send an email before, today's a great day to do it. Just send me a one-word answer on the player punt, and that will be wonderful. And if you care to go more on it, by all means, go for it. All right. Brooklyn Matt says, John, we're pretty old, right? Speak for yourself, Matt. He says, I'm 43 and you're that old. What does that mean? Don't you remember the 1908 Merkel boner for the New York baseball Giants? And what's not remembered about the Buckner boner is that it ruined a tie score and the game heading into extra innings. Calvin Shirelli's wild pitch originally blew that Sox lead. Okay, you're absolutely right. As for the Pats game, I turned it off at halftime because I had a bad feeling. January 2007, RCA Dome was just too fresh in my memory. See that, John? God spared me. Laugh out loud. Okay, well, turn it off at halftime because you had a bad feeling? Wow, you really had a heck of a premonition. I didn't feel bad at all at halftime. I actually felt pretty good. Felt even better at the end of the third quarter. I thought this is going to be a 2-touchdown win. These guys will win about 38-24 is what I thought would end up happening. And that's what the score should have been. All right. So that's okay. Thanks, Brooklyn Matt. Let's see. Chris in Seattle says, since it doesn't end our season, I can't put it on the same level of gaffe as Buckner or Pedro. Fair enough. And frankly, Chris, I'll tell you, that was my first reaction. But then I got to thinking. I'm thinking, well, you know what? It is a monumental gaffe, okay? It is a big mistake. It is one that we're going to remember for some time, whether this team wins or loses. And I think especially if this team wins in the long haul, we'll remember this play. We'll remember it as a seminal moment in this season. This is where the season turned. Now it's all up to what the team does from this point forward. You've got 7 weeks left. What if they go on and they win 6 out of 7? We'll look at that and we'll say, you know what? Thank God that happened. I don't know if we'll ever look at it like that, but you know what? We'll rationalize it that way. So I would have to agree with you, Chris. I don't think it's on the same level as Buckner or Pedro. I frankly believe that, you know, of the three, my own personal choice of large gaffe is Pedro. Number one, Yeah, John McNamara probably should have replaced Buckner at first base defensively. But it was obvious to everyone, especially after the fact that when Pedro came to the dugout in 03, he was already, you know, given his congratulations and accepting his congratulations for a job well done in the dugout, and then Grady asked him to go back out there. Now, I personally like Grady Little. I worked with him when he was in the International League, and he was a manager at Richmond, and I was doing the Pawtucket Red Sox games at AAA, and we always got along great. I think he's a nice guy, and I think he's taken a lot of guff, and some of it deserved, a lot of it not deserved for a decision, but I think he understands as well as anybody that, you know, hey, that's what a manager is paid to do. You're paid to make decisions like that, and if you don't make the right one, then, yeah, you have to suffer the consequences. Now, I don't think anybody's ready to fire Bill Belichick because, as you suggested, Chris, this didn't end the season. Had it ended the season, well, then Bill would probably want to get out of town for a while. But it didn't end the season. In fact, it might have even energized the season in a sort of a sick, twisted way. We can only hope, right? Oh, goodness. Tracy says, I'd punt, but then I'm not a risk taker. That's why I could never be an NFL coach. If you never take the big risks, you never get the big payoffs. Okay? That is a fair way to put it. That's a fair way to put it. I like to think that I am a calculated risk taker. In other words, you know, if I'm able to read for myself or view for myself or realize for myself what the result could be if I make X decision, then I'd like to think that, you know, well, I think it's a gamble worth taking, and then I would do it. It's not that I'm totally conservative, but in this particular instance, given what the circumstances were, it was a 28-yard line. I think I'd punt. 38 of the 48-yard line, I might have been more willing to go for it. But you're basically handing them a touchdown on the on a silver platter, which ultimately is what happened. We'll never know if they would have scored had they had, you know, 70 or 80 yards to go. We'll never know. But I'm just saying there was more opportunity for the defense to make a play. The defense didn't have really a chance at all being stuck with their backs to the wall like that. Could they? Well, sure, they could have stepped up and you know, made a play, but you lose out on the number of chances. You had more chances to make a play from further away. That's all I'm saying. John in Fayetteville, Georgia. Hi, John. Hope you're doing well. Here's what I thought at the time. I thought it was a gutsy call, and I was okay with it, but I never thought they wouldn't make it. I knew it was a do-or-die situation, and so did Bill. Gamblers don't make millions by being mamsy-pamsy. They have to have big cojones and know what the stakes are. I applaud Bill. He was playing with his money, his reputation, and he gambled. 76% of the time, he makes it. And that's good enough odds for me. He says, P.S., by the way, the worst play in Boston sports is still Bill Buckner, not Billy Belly. Okay. Good. All good. Jim in Florida. John, play! Okay, the fact the play failed and we lost, it's easy to say it was a poor decision to go for it on fourth down. Whether Manning needed to drive 29 yards or 79 yards for the winning touchdown in 2 minutes, he already proved he was equal to the task. And in fact, his biggest concern was scoring too quickly and leaving time on the clock for Brady. With Warren, Green, Springs, and Bantakane out of the game on D, and factoring in the Pats' defense giving up long drives for scores, including two by Manning in the fourth quarter of this game, I can't fault Belichick at all for taking his shot on fourth and two. And if Falk doesn't juggle the ball, or if we get a better spot from the ref, we're not having this conversation. No, it doesn't rank up there as one of the biggest gaffes. The last-minute loss tore my heart out, but as long as we beat the Jets this Sunday, we'll be looking good for a rematch in Indy in January, this time making the plays they failed to make last Sunday night. And Jim says Patriots bounce back 31-20 this Sunday against the Jets here in Foxborough. Jim is the voice of reason. Okay, this, well, very simple. This one comes from Chase Banks and says, play. Fair enough. See, I told you. That's good. That's good. I like that. No name, that's fine. It'd be nice if you signed it. That's okay. But you know what? Somebody was clearly listening on the internet and just said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And they sent off the answer, and that's what I asked you to do. Especially if you've never emailed the show before. It's a one-word answer. Play or punt. We're going to add it up. We're going to tally it up here in a couple of moments. And then we'll see how we're going. And then those of you who haven't had a chance to vote, so to speak, I want you to vote. We'll see how this little social experiment works today. And we'll find out if we've got more Belichickian fans here or if we have more armchair quarterbacks here inside the playbook. Be interesting to see. John, this comes from Lorero, I guess is how we pronounce it. It was definitely a tough loss Sunday night. We definitely had many openings to have sealed that game prior to the play. Between Brady's interception and Maroney fumbling on the goal line. With that said, I really can't doubt Bill going for it on 4th-and-2. If they had converted that play, and it seems like they did, game over. Of course, it didn't look that way, and here we go again with tons of people pointing to Bill and calling for his head. Is there anybody really calling for his head? Has anybody said, Doc, has anybody asked for Bill to be fired here over the last day or so?
Not that I've heard, but you never know how far people will jump off the bridge.
This is true. I think there were some knuckleheads on EEI yesterday that said he should be fired for that. Well, I'm not ready to quite go there. He says here, I spent a little time checking message boards yesterday, and at times it is embarrassing to be a Patriots fan with some people's comments. Yes, it was a crappy loss, but to call out Bill like some people do, we're saying the officials wanted the Colts to win is just asinine. Granted, a majority are probably bandwagon fans that don't know that the Colts played in the AFC East or who the quarterback was prior to Brady. I've been a diehard Patriots fan for many years, and we have had more success, obviously, since Bill has taken the helm. It was a great game. We had our opportunities, but we didn't finish out. Just like Bill says, it's a loss. You have to move on and look toward the Jets. Okay. Our friend Howard in Orange, Connecticut, votes punt. Wow, what a game. First, from a pure football fan perspective, it was a spectacular game. The whole ebb and flow of the game right down to the end was just great. Games like that are what make football, in my opinion, the greatest sport to watch. Okay, that said, here we go. I love this. Number one, I think I understand why Coach B made the decision he did on the 4th-and-2. A, offense at that point had over 400 yards, odds favored success. B, O is the better unit at this point in time versus the D, which was beat up and shorthanded at that point of the game. C, Peyton Manning was the quarterback on the other side of the ball. Limit the times you give that player the ball. I would not have gone for it there, as I think 2 yards is too much in that in spot. A yard or less, then I would seriously consider it. But 2 yards is too much, and I understand why he probably made the decision he did. And I think that's also a good point, Howard. If it had been 4th-and-1 or less, I don't think anybody would have really had a beef about it, number one. Number two, if it had been 1 yard or less, they'd have had it. They'd have had it. Even with the poor spot that they had, they'd have had it. And we wouldn't be talking about this. They would have said, oh, my God, I can't believe they made it by the length of the football or whatever it would have ended up being. Because that's really ultimately what I think they ended up missing it by. And, again, I do believe that they had a timeout to use there in a replay situation. I think it would have been overturned. He says, Howard says, I don't like the play calling prior to the call above. I thought they should have run the ball in third down and fourth down, not thrown it. I think that what we lack right now, Corey Dillon, Antoine Smith, run downhill, move the pile type of runner. Maroney has improved, but seriously lacks that run downhill mentality that Taylor and Morris bring to the table. That said, I still would have tried to run it with the offensive line as the lead blocker and either Maroney or Green Ellis as the back carrying the ball. You know what I would have done, Howard? I'd have let Brady sneak it. Did you see how he moved the pile earlier in the game? I'd let him, you know, go right up the backside of Dan Copen. I think all Tom had to do is basically lean forward, and if he could get a clean fall, he makes 2 yards. That's just me. Howard says, number three, also, what was up with the 100 draw plays to Kevin Faulk? Yes, they worked early, but it became comical how many times they used that play. Late in the game, just before they got that last field goal, it appeared to me that they were playing for the field goal, not the touchdown, which would have been the nail in the coffin for that game had they gotten the TD. No question. I'm not going to argue that one. I personally think the bigger gaffe is why Coach Belichick just didn't let them score when they got to the 14 and preserved more than 13 seconds for the O to get into field goal range. All that said, I thought the team gave all they had and stood toe-to-toe with the best team in the AFC at this point of the season. Mistakes and plays were made on both sides of the ball. Unfortunately, the Colts made a few more plays and a few less mistakes than the Patriots, and thus they win by 1 point. So be it. It's now Jet Week in my mind, and a little payback is due. Bring on the Jets. And yes, I still adhere to In Bill We Trust, because this was, in my opinion, one bad decision among a thousand or thousands, he says, of correct ones that he has made to keep this team competitive and consistently winning. Well thought out email there, Howard, as you always come up with. Mike in Erie says, playoff, regular season. That eliminates the Pats game. Only the last two have to do with the coach's decisions that eliminates the Buckner ball, which leave Grady Little's decision to leave Pedro in. All right, so I think he votes for Grady leaving Pedro in as being the more egregious gaffe in New England managerial history. Fair enough, Mike. William says, John, my nit is with the trainers. They must know about concussions, but other things can cause brain damage. I sense a witty retort here. A whole bunch of trainers and none noticed Belichick's brain damage. I hope someone would check his face, arms, and speech in time to prevent brain loss. No, I'm not talking about fourth and two. I'm talking about the idiotic decision to go to the prevent defense. Just one guy pointing out the other sideline and saying, see that guy in the 18 jersey? That is Peyton Blanking Manning. If he can conceivably score in 30 seconds, he will. Here's the defense they should have used. Linebacker blitz. Yes, Peyton would pick it apart, just as he did the prevent defense. The difference would be twofold. One, you hit, not sack, Peyton Manning. Two, you don't allow a 35-yard pass interference. Yes, there would still be the usual PI. It is the Colts. Not complaining, but we know it will be there. Expect it. It would be 15 yards or so before, because Peyton had to throw quickly. It's an interesting point of view, William. I like you, was also complaining about the prevent defense. That was poor. They gave up those last two touchdowns before, you know, giving up the last one. They gave those up way too easily. And I think that's partly, and I think Belichick really has only himself to blame for that. I think Bill Belichick has only himself to blame for the decision that he made go wrong, because he's the one that primarily said, all right, this is how we're going to play Manning. We're just going to play soft. We're going to try to make the big play, what have you. You still got to attack. You got to play to the finish. Now, I realize that there were some injuries there. I realize that personnel-wise, they were probably limited. But just because you're limited doesn't mean you change the game plan. Aren't these guys supposedly prepared to the nth degree, whereas starters and backups alike have to be ready, must be ready even, to make a play out on the field, because you don't know who's going to get called on? And haven't we also argued many, many times that injuries are not an excuse? If injuries are not an excuse, then the guys out on the field should still be expected to come up and make plays, period. Bill Belichick is a victim of his own play calling from earlier in the game. I think that's a great way to look at it. Steve in New Hampshire is on the phone. Steve, welcome inside the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm all right, man.
First of all, I'm going to have to go with play.
Okay.
And you had said earlier, you know, if anybody sat there and said they believed in it, they'd be lying. I didn't feel that way. I went, oh, okay, all right, let's do this. That was my reaction. Didn't freak me out. I really felt, it's Bill. I figured, all right, you know, whatever, he's got something figured out.
Well, then you drink Kool-Aid then, don't you?
Well, anyway, yeah, I'm definitely on that bandwagon. But I just want to say something in a different way. Let me go right through this real quick.
Sure.
This is what Peyton Manning did in the fourth quarter. Pass for 19 yards, pass for 11. They ran for 9, ran for 8, pass for 29, touchdown, under 2 minutes. Then the next possession he threw the pick. We get the field goal. Then the next possession he had, pass for 12 yards, pass for 6 yards, pass for 9 yards, pass interference for 31 yards, pass for 9 yards, one quick throwaway, 4-yard run for a touchdown, a minute 52. I mean, and then after the 2 minutes, that was pass 16, run 13, run stopped, pass touchdown. The guy killed us. Passed for 146 yards. They ran for 34,
mm-hmm.
all in, like, under 4 minutes. I agree with Bill. It was like we were getting shredded. Peyton shredded us in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's largely because they played a prevent defense.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess you could say that if you're going to go at it a different way, but I don't know. I feel he played to win, and I agreed with it, and it's only the middle of the season. I'm not worried about this stuff. This is, you know, to me, he just takes this stuff and game films it, and he's going to, you know, put those boys in the right position next time. So I'm good with it. I just want to let you know I definitely play it the way he played it.
Okay.
All right, man.
Fair enough. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Steve. You got it. All right, so there's a vote for play. I'm going to try to tally this up here in just a minute to this point in time and then see where we come out. And then as we get into hour number two, we'll give you a bit of an election return style result here and see if we can't come up with some numbers. But again, it's a very simple premise today on Nitpick Tuesday here in the playbook. Number one, punt or play? Which side do you come down on? Are you one of those that believe they should have punted? Are you one of those that back Belichick and say, all right, I agree with the play call? Punt or play? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, just as Steve in New Hampshire did there. That's how you can call the program. And number two, amongst coaching gaffes in New England sports history, where does this one rank? Does it rank as the all-time worst? Does it rank not even on the charts? And you compare it to a couple of the ones that ESPN offered, Grady Little pulling Pedro in 03 or not pulling Pedro in 03 out of the ALCS with the Yankees, or John McNamara not pulling Bill Buckner out of the game in the 86 series against the Mets. Two obviously memorable coaching maneuvers that did not go well for New England sports fans, as this one did not go well for New England sports fans on Sunday night. That's what we're trying to get at here. Yep. Didn't go well. We chose door number three. And it ends up being, a year's supply of cow manure. That's basically what happened on Sunday night. Right?
Crap.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so there you go. We'll get to the rest of your emails. Much more still to come here in hour number two in the playbook.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Moss comes in motion. Play action fake by Brady. Has time. Shoots it long and deep. And Moss is got it inside the five and into the end zone. Touchdown, Randy Moss.
What? No pass to Kevin Falk on that one? You don't have that one?
I have that one, but just not on that cut.
Oh, okay. Well, let's find that one, too. Let's see how Gil called it. We should see how Gil called it. I'll give you some time. Let me know when you have it. Welcome back inside the playbook, hour number two. I want to know if he was as incredulous as I was. Like, he's going to go for this? Oh, goodness. All right, I've got a rough total here of the votes already in to this point in time, and we've still got plenty of time for you to contribute here as we open hour number two inside the playbook. I have 19, what do we have here? 20 votes. 20 votes in, and right now the vote tally stands at 8 wanting to punt the ball and 12 say the play was the right call. So there are 12 of 20 of you who in Bill we trust, 8 of you who are thinking, what the hell is going on here? If I count me, it'd be 9 out of 21. What the hell is going on here? That's where our current count is. So it slightly favors the coach, but not all the way favors the coach. Just slightly favors the coach. If you have not had a chance.
All righty, fourth down and
right,
two
here
for
we go.
The Patriots at their own 28. The ball game hanging in the balance. And Falk at his to the right of Brady in the shotgun. Now Falk goes into the right side slot. Fourth down and two for the Patriots at their own 28. Brady takes the snap, looks, fires right. It is caught at the 30-yard line. And I don't think it's enough for a first down. It
boy,
was caught
boy.
At the 30-yard line. It is not enough for a first down for Welker, and the Colts have it. First and 10 at the Patriot 30. And now this ball game could be lost.
It's actually how I opened PFW today.
I like it. It's good. It's good. Hey, all entertainment all the time around here. Gotta have fun, huh? Oh, my. Well, now, at least initially, when you heard Gil's comments there, he was kind of like, all right, they're going for it, you know. And then you heard Gino in the background go, oh, my goodness. You know, so clearly those two guys have seen more football together than years that Bill Belichick has been alive. They couldn't believe it. William, our regular email here, sends three opinions here from other articles, opinions from solid football people around the country. And thank you for sending these links, William. I've seen a few like this, so I'm going to share them with you here briefly. This one comes from Pete Prisco at CBSSports.com. He says, fourth and jackass, that's our name of a now infamous play in New England Patriots history. Fourth and jackass. Move over tuck rule, you have company. Each and every week we see bad coaching decisions in the NFL, but never, and I mean never, have I seen one as dumb as the decision Patriots coach Bill Belichick made Sunday night against the Indianapolis Colts. His brain was more frozen than Ted Williams.
He's a jackass.
Wow. All right, this one from Ron Borges in the Boston Herald. Is there an insanity defense for football coaches? Who would have thought the Yoda of New England would lose his mind and his nerve like the rankest of rookie head coaches and crack under the strain of having Peyton Manning yapping at his heels all night like a puppy who didn't know who his master was? Mere mortals punt downfield and try to put as much real estate between their end zone and Manning's right arm. Geniuses commit hubris instead.
He's a jackass.
Rodney Harrison had this to say. The worst coaching decision I've ever seen Bill Belichick make. What, you're not going to play the jackass comment for that?
Not for Rodney, no.
You're just afraid he'll still come get you.
Yes.
Okay, well, at least you're honest. Rodney Harrison, a guest in the playbook last week, too, by the way, I might add. And Gene Wojciechowski from ESPN.com. Maybe his headset was too tight and it squeezed the blood from his brain.
He's a jackass.
And then Hank Goller from the New York Daily News sums it up simply. Or simply sums it up thusly. Bill Belichick, dummy.
Idiot.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for sharing those, William. That's a good little collection there. I was actually trying to do that myself, and you sort of helped my cause there. Dagmar is on the phone from Miami. Dagmar, welcome to the playbook.
Yeah, how's it going, John?
How's it going with you today?
Let me tell you, after the game, I feel pretty good. I feel great, and I'm going to tell you why. I think after seeing 58 minutes of game, I think every single fan can tell that this team can't beat anybody out there. It's just a matter of tuning in and having what sometimes we call luck. The reason I'm saying this is because, first of all, the Darius Butler pass interference call to me was horrendous. That has no play there.
Mm-hmm.
And I double-checked that on watching NFL Network when Deion Sanders had a couple of words about it. And he clearly left out there that he does not believe that was a righteous call.
Mm-hmm.
Like the officials went over the top on that one. And the second official's decision that really got me mad, and I don't know if a lot of people look at that like me, but I think that fourth down with 2 minutes and 5 seconds when Kevin Favre goes to the ground, I think they should have reviewed that, knowing the circumstances, the magnitude of the game, knowing that there was no more timeouts, and there was a critical issue about the spot of where the ball was supposedly caught or where the spot ended up in the ground.
Okay.
And comparing that to what the first down marker was. Because even Deion Sanders and Rich, who I always forget his last name, on NFL Network, were discussing and saying, like, clearly, it appears to be a first down. What gets me mad is that the officials never took the time to, you know, do a review, knowing the repercussion of the play.
Yeah, they didn't even pull the chains over, did they?
They didn't even double check that.
No.
I mean, if they know this is the best game of all year, I mean, first of all, you got to quit. You got to be careful with what crew you select for this game. You got to be aware that the guys that are going to play, call the plays or call the the game there, they got to be aware of this. I mean, it's going to come down to the last minute. It's going to come down to where the ball is going to end up, the first down decision. And that's when I want to jump to my last point. Mm-hmm. I completely support Bill Belichick, and I know some people may jump right at me like, oh, Gonier, are you crazy? You're giving the ball to Peyton Manning. I mean, having not the officials gone or acted the way they did, I think, I mean, honestly, I still believe we had a first down. I still believe it, and until somebody comes up with different camera shots that prove me that it wasn't a first down, then up to that point, I'm going to still believe that the Patriots had a first down and they just got robbed of that game. And what I do think is that when Bill Belichick takes that decision, after listening to him, I mean, I completely agree. Like, it's the philosophy of if you want to die on the field, you die with your best team. You do not let, and clearly we all know that our offense is way better than our defense. And if he has to trust somebody to put the game in the pocket, he's got to trust Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Kevin Falk, and
okay.
let them make a play. That's why I support him. And unfortunately, we didn't get the good result out of it. But I believe that result depends more. It depended more on a decision that I think it wasn't fair from the official towards the Patriots.
Okay, Dagmar, your points are well taken. I would only suggest, though, that to your point that you have to put the best team out there that has the best chance to win. Then why the hell do the Patriots? Why do they ever punt the ball? Might as well just go for it on fourth down every time.
Yeah, when I think about punting or not, I look at Peyton Manning, the way he was playing towards the last part of the game. The Patriots without Tully Bantakame and other Patriots players on defense that may have not been ready yet for that hurry-up offense. And comparing the time that Manning was taking to march down the field and, clock management and score, I don't think it would have made any difference giving him the ball at his own 30-yard line or something in case of a good punt had resulted. I don't think it would have made any difference. I guess we may have probably been talking like, hey, why didn't we go for it on fourth down? And funny, you just brought another point that I almost forgot. Why, knowing that you only need 10 yards, okay, 10 mm-hmm. yards, to put the game away and say, this is a win, we just beat the best team in the NFL right now, why can't you rely on your running game? I mean, if Baroni has what it takes for a first-round pick running back and on the active roster, he would have said, Coach, give me the ball. I'm going to give you 10 yards on three tries. When you make the calculations, it's like 3.3 yards per attempt.
Yep.
I mean, any decent running back can do that.
Yep.
I don't care. If it is, I don't care if they're going to get ready for the run, you just pound that ball. If you cannot rely on a running back to do that, then that running back, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to have him on the roster.
Okay.
And I am not personally attacking Maroney for this or for not having, I don't know if it was a coach decision, but, I mean, when you are a good player and you demonstrate that you have what it takes to make those plays, your coach does give you the benefit of, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. If you give me 6 yards, then, I'll give you a second try.
Okay.
But, I mean, I didn't see that. Obviously, there's no trust in him. We can still use him, but in that case, I think it really affected the Patriots that they couldn't rely on a pounding back that can give you 10 yards, in 4 tries.
Sure. All right. Then I think you made your point well then in terms of he just didn't trust the defense at that stage in the game, which is why he felt like it was a better opportunity to win the game by leaving the offense on the field. I totally understand that. It flies in the face of football logic, and Bill Belichick, in my estimation, and I'm not trying to change your mind here, Dagmar, what I'm trying to point out is that it flies in the face of logic that Bill Belichick is basically has based his entire football coaching career on. Logic and sound football strategy. This was an anti-Bill Belichick move that he made.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that he can't take a shot every now and then. Obviously he did, and obviously he has. But this one didn't work. And so what happens the next time that an opportunity like this comes up, and we're all going to be waiting with bated breath and ready to wham him and hammer him and ride him out of town on a rail if he chooses poorly again. The only way that you avoid from that kind of predicament is by staying true to your word and being a football guy and use your football sense. Use what got you to the big leagues.
Yeah. Let me ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Actually, the only question I'm going to ask you today because I've been only talking.
Sorry.
How do you feel, in terms of, okay, we knew that Brady was coming up from that season-ending injury, and he's been catching up basically to the potential he's got, you know, to put up on the field. I mean, the way I feel, and I'm going to ask you how you feel, I felt really good because Patriots demonstrated, they proved that they can beat teams like the Colts. And, I mean, what happened at the end, let's take that away. I know that's what it cost us, the game. But all 58 minutes long before that, I mean, it was completely Patriots domination. And I'm really happy with that. And I guess the coach is going to sit down to talk to the players and tell them, hey, we did a good job.
You got to play 60.
There was something that
Dagmar, you got to play 60 minutes, brother. You got to play 60. I mean, it's great that you feel good about the 58. They still lost the flipping game, pal.
No, I know that. You're right, man. But how you feel about that? I mean, how you feel about how the team is actually clicking, because the offense was clicking.
Well, the offense
defense
is,
was clicking up to a point. But,
you're right. I mean, until the injuries happen, and I don't disagree with that. The defense was playing okay. They forced, three and outs in the first half. I thought they were playing as well as they could play. The offense was clicking, and then in the second half, things changed. And a lot of that changed because defense played softer because of some injuries that they had. I don't think the offense attacked enough, so when the offense wanted to attack, they obviously chose poorly when it came to, you know, making a play call and deciding to go for it. That's when I think, you know, when rather than throw caution to the wind, when you know that all the other variables are up in the air, especially the defense, rather than just completely go, what the hell, let's go for broke, use your football knowledge. Use your smarts. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, ultra-conservative, but say, all right, let's give our defense a chance here and make Peyton Manning have more than two or three plays, which is what it took him. Let's make him go. Anything can happen in 70 yards, Dagmar. But in 30 yards, you know what the hell's going to happen. He's going to score.
In 2 minutes, you never know. Yeah.
He's going to score.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So that's why I'm saying, you know what? Make him go double that in that difference, and let's see what the hell happens. If he scores from 70 yards away, you know what I'm doing? I'm applauding. Yeah. That's what I'm doing, all right?
I know. Hey,
thanks, buddy.
It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you,
too. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Thanks. All right.
Bye.
Good phone call. You know what? He's a passionate fan. That's great. That's what we want. We want passion. Absolutely. All right, let's see. I got a new count here. And keep them coming in, by the way. They're starting to roll in now. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. Play or punt? Do you go for the play that Bill Belichick called, or do you punt it? We're taking a tally here, and at last count, I have 12 punts and 13 plays. So the margin is narrowing. Common sense is beginning to prevail inside the playbook.
First time for everything.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's the latest tally. I've got 13 who have voted for the play and siding with Belichick. I've got 12 who voted that they would have punted the football. Keep them coming. We got 40 minutes left of the program. Keep them coming. Rich says, John, first-time emailer. Thank you, Rich. As for punt or play, I say neither. Oh, now, come on, Rich. You got to get off the fence. That's not what I'm asking. Get off the fence and have an opinion here. As to what I was thinking when it looked like they may be going for it, when Belichick is thinking, Belichick's thinking out of the box. I was thinking that he was going to take a safety, have Brady or the punter run into the end zone, killing time, and as someone got near them, they step out of the end zone, lose 10 to 15 seconds on the clock, then kick to the Colts. Then they start at the 20 or 30 yard line. Do you think that they could have run off 10 or 15 seconds running around? I don't think they would have given it to Brady, because Brady could have gotten killed in the end zone, Rich. I understand the process. I understand the thought. And this is the first time I've actually seen this opinion in 2 days of reading people's opinions. And this is the first time I've seen this one. So kudos to you for that one. But I just don't think they want, you know, Dwight Freeney running after Tom Brady. No offense. I don't think Brady wants Dwight Freeney and company racing after him in the end zone either. I don't know if he could. If you could tell me they'd kill 15 seconds and get the 2 minute warning down to say $1.50 or whatever it was, and then punt from the 20 yard line. it still at that time would have been 34-30. So they still would have had to score 6 points to win it. If you're kicking from the 20, though, on the safety, you'd have to gotten a pretty hefty kick, I think, to ensure that Indianapolis would have started, at the 30-yard line or inside of their own 30. Interesting. Interesting. I'll bet that never crossed their mind, but it's interesting. See, we have the benefit of hindsight. Kevin says, John, absolutely love your show. Thank you. He says, my nitpick is the play of our right tackle. Mathis had pressure on Brady all game long. I think that when Light gets back, we need to move Vollmer or Light to right tackle. I would agree with that, Kevin. I agree with you. I thought Nick Kazier was, I thought he had some troubles, most notably on two significant occasions. Christian Vollmer has, Sebastian Vollmer, excuse me, has accounted for himself very well. The guys were very complimentary of him on the television coverage on Sunday night. I would agree with you. I think that's a great move. Let's put Light over at right tackle. Let's keep Vollmer at left tackle, and let's make Kazier the backup and the swing guy, you know, able to fill in at either spot if need be. I actually think that would play to the strength and play to the depth. That's a good call, Kevin. Good call out of you. Also, I am a defensive coordinator for a high school football team. Ooh. Here we go. Whenever we're in fourth down situations, my offensive coordinator always asks me if he can go for it. And most of the time, I let him go for it. It is my job and the defense's job to make the stop. Most of the time, it works and we get the ball back. The defense did not do their job Sunday night. Belichick had the confidence in his defense to stop the Colts from the 29-yard line. They didn't get the job done. Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad. Excellent. Okay, well, that's good then. All right, see, now we've got a defensive coordinator who's chiming in with his opinion. I like that play call. But you have to admit, though, Kevin, that it was, shall we say, unusual because the odds are not on your side going for it there. Conventional football wisdom through decades of playing this sport is that you give your defense more room to breathe rather than back them up against the wall. Even you have to admit that. Had the confidence in his defense to stop them from the 29-yard line, and they didn't get the job done. Well, I think that's easy for us to say. Although Bill Belichick has already said, I thought we could win the game right there. He didn't go on to say, he never once in this last 2 days, never once has Bill Belichick said, I thought we could stop them from there. He didn't say that, Kevin. All he said was, I thought we could win the game right there. So we're all reading between the lines here. That is, he did not have the confidence in his defense to stop him from there. Basically, once the ball was turned over and downs, it was a miracle that was going to keep that team from scoring. And I think you know it, and I think everybody else knows it. But an interesting point of view, nevertheless. Ben says, play. It is always easy to criticize a decision from your sofa screaming at the television after seeing the result. Everyone sitting in their living room while eating potato chips says he's nuts, should check their finger for rings and their bank for millions and ask them who makes better decisions. See, Ben, that's not right, okay? It's not that simple and it's not that cut and dry. Just because he makes millions doesn't mean it wasn't the right call or doesn't mean it was the right call. Just because we're sitting on a couch watching the game as opposed to him being down on the sideline doesn't make it the right call. You know, he chose to go that route. We chose to go others. I'm not going to criticize him necessarily for being able to balance his checkbook if I'm an accountant, even though that's my job and it's not his. Are you? That's really not a very good comparison there. He says, if they win, the decision is praised. Everyone hates you when you're the best, but I think the Pats like it that way. This is one game. The main goal is to win the Super Bowl, not beat the Colts. 13-3, baby. Well, listen, Ben, if we could promise, or you could promise us right now that this team is going to be 13-3, I guarantee you we'd all forget this and we'd stop this conversation. I don't think anybody thinks that, to be quite honest with you. All right, that brings the tally up to 12-14, right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. Neither, and let me see, 12-13. Yes. Yes. All right, 14, 12-15. Okay, 12-16. All right, there we go. 16 for play, 12 for punt. Still have plenty of time to sway the voting either way. Webradio at patriots.com. Alan from Scotland says, hey, John, punt. I couldn't believe this call. If we punt the ball, we could at least make them earn the win instead of just handing it to them on a silver platter. Interesting, Alan. I happen to agree. And wasting the timeouts made it even worse. At least we could have challenged the play or even have stopped the clock. Just poor decision-making and clock management all around. I also didn't agree with the team going to the prevent defense so early in the game. For three quarters, we played them hard, got pressure on Manning all day. It was working, so why did we change it? If it's not broke, don't fix it. Anyway, I'm not going to worry too much. I still believe we will beat them in the rematch. We're still in first place in the division, and we will kill the Jets on Sunday. All right. Excellent. All right, 13-16. I'm keeping a running total here. John says, Ron Borges, I was reading his opinion earlier. Ron Borges is a jackass. Imagine the stones it took to make that call. I'm sick of this. The guy made a bad call when there was not clearly a better one. For all these jackass reporters and know-nothing fans to call for Bill's head as a joke. I haven't had one person on this show call for his head. Not one. Says sports reporters equal English majors who never played a sport in their life. Well, John, that's not entirely accurate there, buddy, because I'm a sports reporter, and I did play lots of sports in my life. But I understand your frustration. Peter says, punt! With no Pats timeouts and two Colt timeouts, not a given that the Colts would not have had the ball back, even if the Pats had converted. It would have needed another first down to ensure that Peyton would not get back on the field. See, I think that's a good point again, Peter. I happen to agree with that. Even if the Patriots had made the first down, there's no guarantee that they would have killed out the clock. And that the Colts still could have had the ball at some point. Now, they would have had no timeouts, because I'm sure they would have stopped the clock and tried to hold the Patriots on three downs, and they get the ball back after the Patriots punt it and get the ball back somewhere around their 20-yard line with probably something like 30 or 40 seconds to go, and they would have had a long way to go. But I think that would have, you know, had they made the first down, you're right, it wouldn't probably have run out the clock, but I think it would have increased their chances. It's not a given, though, and you are correct about that. Punt would have given the team a longer field to work with. Marvin in Kernersville. John, you got to punt. Simply put. Thank you. John also sent this email. He said, did you see Tom run to the side and talk to Bill before the fourth and two call? From a spectator's view, it looked just like Tom and Bill, just like Tom talked Bill into it. Bill's look and nod made it look like he agreed with the idea. Now, we all know that nobody will ever fess up as to whose idea it was. It was the coach's ultimate responsibility. But it looked to me like it wasn't his idea. I think that's possible. I think that's possible. I think it could also have something to do why Brady, he was actually on WEEI this morning rather than yesterday on Patriots Monday. And he did say that, he loves the fact that Coach Belichick likes to go for it in situations like that. That he has the confidence in order to do that. Okay. That would sort of lead me to think that maybe that Brady had something to do with the call being made. He also says, John, I have no problem with that he went for the call, but with no timeouts, it was the wrong time to take that gamble. I cannot fault him, however. The D was exhausted, couldn't keep up with Manning anymore. People cry that Bill didn't trust his D, but why should he have? The previous two series, Manning went down from 80 yards plus to score in under 2 minutes. This was the best chance to keep the ball out of Manning's hands. With no opportunity to challenge, it was awful, but it was the right choice. Let's talk about the D falling apart at the end. Let's talk about the phantom pass interference call. Let's talk about the ridiculous spot they gave Falk. I was literally sick to my stomach that we lost the game. Bill had to make a hard choice. Do we try for the 2 yards? 2 yards shouldn't have been that difficult. Or do we give Manning yet another chance to cut right through us? Well, John, it's a moot point now simply because it's exactly what Manning did. He cut right through us. How much else we can do about that, right? Let's see. What else do we have here? John, punt due to field position. 30 more yards down the field. Go for it. Bill determined that Manning was moving the ball at will. I guess he thought it did not matter where Manning got the ball. He thought that he would score. We do not have a consistent, strong enough pass rush that would have made Manning make a mistake. This is from Sean. Thank you, Sean. Let's see. I've already counted your vote in there. I think we're at 13 to punt and 16 to play, at least as we now stand. Let's see. Let me get some of these ones from earlier today, and then I'm going to get back to the ones that just came in. By the way, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Play or punt? Simple answer. Play or punt? Which side do you go for? Which side are you on? Do you agree with Belichick's decision or not? Especially those of you who have never emailed before, but you listen. Great opportunity for you to contribute here. We're taking a running tally inside the playbook here on Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Direct snap to Brady. Stands in, fires over the middle. It is complete there. Welker will try to lateral it back. The game will end, and the Patriots lose a game they absolutely never should have lost.
Gil Santos on the call on the 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. At the end of the game on Sunday night, as we are into our last half hour here of the playbook, and boy, time has flown by today. But that's good because that means you're contributing, and we've all got opinions on what happened on Sunday night. Right now, again, I've just gotten a whole nother batch of emails in, so we're going to get to as many of them as we can. But the score was at last tally, play 16, punt 13. And that's just from people who have contributed only to this show. That's not counting some of the other emails that have complained from PFW in Progress earlier that we haven't gotten to, and we'll get to some of those here in a moment. In fact, we're going to run through some of them now from earlier today. Hi, John. I'm a UK-based Pats fan. Don't know if you remember. I emailed you the London Olympics link. Oh, yeah. Sure, Jamie. How are you? Great, annoyed, disappointed at the result, but it's not the end of the world. The season still goes on. There is nothing worse than going to bed at 4:30 in the morning and when you're up at 8 a.m. for work after the Pats lost to the Colts or any loss for that matter. Oh, brother, I feel your pain. He says, my vote is play. And my reason is there are 2 minutes left, 2 yards to go on first down conversion, wins the game, or at least gives the Colts very little time left. I wouldn't have thrown it on third or fourth. I would have had four wide receivers spread out with Brady behind center and then called a QB sneak. Yeah, I agree with that one. Actually, if you're going to play, I actually like that call, Jamie. The Colts would have had to go for, like, DBs, so they would have only had four linemen, an easy first down, I think. Call was very brave, but the only call for me. And please, can you give a shout-out for the UK Patriots? Yes, I just did. Love the show, John. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Jamie. Let's see. Aaron sends in. We were asking earlier about does this play go down amongst the greatest coaching gaffes in New England sports history? The other two big mistakes, of course, were and the examples that ESPN used in their Sports Nation poll was John McNamara for not pulling out Billy Buckner as a defensive for a defensive replacement in the 86 World Series, and Grady Little not pulling out Pedro in the late innings of the 2003 ALCS. And Aaron says, Billy was playing hurt at first, and it was in the playoffs. Pedro, playoffs should have brought in someone fresh. Bill, 4-2, being aggressive, can't kill a guy for that. So he ranks Buckner 1, Pedro 2, Belichick 3. I think that probably would be the general consensus of most fans, although I would flip-flop Pedro and Buckner. Andrew from Andy from Ireland says, punt. Okay, good. Richard says, play, for God's sake. Like that one. Mike from the University of Illinois in Champaign says, play. Keith from Dallas, Texas, play all the way. Mike says, play. Another Aaron says, punt. Christopher, and I'm ripping through these as quick as I can now. Christopher says, punt. Ian in Maryland, play. Brian says, I'd punt, but I can see why Bill ran the play. Okay, but I'm still putting you down for a punt vote because I, too, Brian, can see why Bill ran the play. I just happen not to agree with it, and I think, you know, we're entitled to our opinions here. Marvin says he's got mutable layers of nitpick, so I'm going to let him nitpick here. Marvin in Kernersville, North Carolina. Okay, John, there are so many layers of this loss to the Colts, it's hard to know where to start the nitpick. First, there's a repeat of the 2006 AFC Championship game. The Colts and Peyton are better. Bottom line, Peyton made the plays when he had to, and our defense just flat out can't stop him, period. While Tom couldn't make the plays and the Colts' defense could get to Brady and knock him off stride, that said, the Peyton and the Colts are better. Second, play calling. If we're going to try for it on 4th-and-2, why didn't we try running the ball on 3rd down and then run again on 4th down? See, now that's been an absolute constant. With those who have agreed that they should have run the play, you just didn't like the play that was called. You would have chosen another play, or you would have chosen a series of plays leading up to the 4th down play rather than the play. All right, I understand that, but to me, that's an entirely different question. All I'm asking here is, do you agree with the play that was called? Because that's what happened. We're not going to armchair quarterback that one to death. That's what happened. And because there were only two choices to make. You either run the play that was run, or you punt the ball. Pretty simple. But I happen to agree. Most everybody who said that, I happen to agree with. Yeah, they probably should have set this up differently. We had Isaiah Stanback on the active roster. He's a third-string quarterback. Why not give him a direct snap on 3rd and 4th and run for a first? Well, we don't know that he's taken a ball. We don't know for a fact that he's ever taken a snap. We don't know for a fact the Patriots even have some kind of a wildcat or whatever in the offensive arsenal. We don't know. Why? Because we're not allowed to see but the first 5 or 10 minutes of practice. That's it. Then they chase us off. So we don't know if he can do that. I'm saying we don't know. He says, we lost Samuel, Seymour, Vrabel, all for financial reasons. You can't tell me we're a better defense without these guys. Every year we play this stupid game on draft day when Belichick trades down in this pick-up picks game instead of trying to draft upper-level talent because we might have to pay them more money than Belichick is willing to spend. We can't build a championship defense with third, fourth, and fifth-round picks. If you could, we would already have one. Interesting. It's a little frustrating for me, too. I share that with you, Marvin. I actually share that frustration with you to an extent over the third, fourth, and fifth round picks. But obviously they feel like there's better value in those later rounds than spending the money that they would spend for, an earlier round pick. I think they pretty much made a concerted decision to do that over the years in order to do that. Okay. Let's see. Our tally again was at play 16, punt 13. And now we've got a fresh batch of emails coming in, so we're going to add to the totals from here. All right? Because those votes had already been counted in. Now there's a fresh batch of 8 or 9 here, so let's get into it. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance, there's still time. We got, 16, 17 minutes left on the show today. So if you haven't had a chance to make your opinion known, do it. If you've never emailed, do it. It's a simple one-word email you send to webradio@patriots.com. Play or punt. Right? 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number if you want to contribute by phone. Major David in Washington says, play. So many sports announcers and analysts have really come down hard on Belichick over his decision. Bottom line up front, it's Bill's personality, and I was not surprised when he did it. We would most likely be applauding his decision if the Pats had succeeded in running off the clock. No question, Major. With all due respect, though, it flew in the face of sound football philosophy. And quite frankly, that's very anti-Bill Belichick. And that's why the sports announcers and the commentators and the pundits and columnists, they've all come down hard, as I explained earlier, some of the examples of things that are being written about Coach all around the country. And it's dominated talk radio shows all over the country over the last 24 to 48 hours. And we're here still talking about it 2 days later. And undoubtedly, it'll be in our discussion thoughts for much of the rest of the season, especially if the season goes down the tubes. I'm not saying that it will. But it was just a very un-Belichickian-like play, as far as I'm concerned. You say that it's his personality. Well, see, I kind of tend to disagree. I think Bill Belichick is very old school, and that comes from his father having coached at Navy all those years. And I realize that ain't exactly who you root for. But I argue that that's not his personality. I really don't. In fact, when he has gone for it on fourth down in a couple of instances earlier this year and even in previous years, my initial reaction is, wow, well, good for him, because he normally doesn't do things like that. Now everybody seems to think, oh, this is more of what he does normally, so why should we be disappointed? No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Just because we have a high-flying offense, that all of a sudden, you know, his thinking has to be, you know, non-conservative to go along? See, I don't agree with that. Just don't agree with it. Todd sends his email today and his vote. If I could get this to load, Todd, we'd be in good shape. Oh, here we go. Todd, Nova Scotia. John, no problem with Bill Belichick going for it. Falk had the first down, and how can a ref make a spot when Falk's back was toward him? Where was the official on the other side of the field? Bill's the man. I said we don't punt the rest of the year just to prove we can. See, I kind of made that statement a few minutes ago. You know what? Then what's the point in punting at all? If you have that much ability in your offense every step of the way, then in theory, if you're going to follow logic here, every time we have fourth and two or less for the rest of the year, we should go for it. Why? Because we're going to keep the other team from getting the ball. Now, I happen to know for a fact, everybody see the movie Friday Night Lights? Anybody see that movie? You ever watch the TV series? The TV series was based on the movie. It's a true story. It happened in Odessa, Texas, back in the late 1980s. The team that Odessa Permian High School in Texas played in the Class 5A state championship that year. Again, this is the movie that was based on the book. The team that they played was Dallas Carter. Few people probably remember this. If you're living in that part of the state, you know what I'm talking about. Dallas Carter was one of the best 5A schools, and that's the largest classification in Texas. That may have been one of the greatest high school football teams I've ever seen. They were big. They were fast. They had like 8 or 9 Division I recruits on that one team. In fact, they may have even had more than that, but 8 or 9 was the count that I had come up with. They were a juggernaut. And Permian had all the tradition, had all the quote-unquote mojo on their side. That was their motto. And yet they were totally outmatched, totally undersized, totally out everything, out physical to everything. Carter never kicked the ball that entire season. Why? Because they didn't have to. They didn't even have a kicker on their roster. Every time they scored a touchdown, they went for two. Every time it was fourth down, they went for it, and they made it something incredible like 70% of the time. Why? Because they were a physical mismatch for everybody they played. They were, in every sense of the word, a rolling juggernaut. Never went for it. I mean, never punted on fourth down, ever. Until finally late in the game, it cost them. Permian found a way to stop them. Now, Permian didn't win the game, but they gained a huge measure of respect because they were able to stop them, and they got within like a yard or two of scoring the winning touchdown after Dallas Carter had just beat them upside the head all game long. One of the greatest, you know, stories football-wise that's, you know, really ever been put, you know, on film. Really, it was a good job. And a good sports movie as well. If you've never seen it, haven't read the book, go see what I'm talking about. But that Carter team was dominating. And so unless the Patriots are dominating like that, you know, you have to punting the ball, kicking the ball is a strategic part of the game. So if you're not going to utilize the strategic part of the game, then why the hell punt at all? Anytime it's fourth and two or less, why should the Patriots ever punt again? And see, and I think when you say that, that's ridiculous. I don't think anybody would agree with that. But in effect, that's what you're saying. Don't punt the rest of the year just to prove we can. Well, okay, that's all fine and good. But really, really, what are you going to say to yourself the next time the Patriots, you know, let's say the ball's at the 45-yard line and it's fourth and two and they decide to punt? What are you going to say? Is he a hypocrite? Is he? Is Bill Belichick a hypocrite if it's fourth and two at their own 45 and they don't go for it and they punt the ball? Are you going to boo him?
I have no idea.
Do you think the fans here at the stadium will boo him if it happens this Sunday against the Jets?
I have no idea.
Well, I can understand why they would. Patriots should never punt the ball if it's ever fourth and two or less.
Okay.
Should never punt it.
Okay.
All right. We'll move on. Thank you. Robin in Alaska. If we could just have used 15 seconds running around just to get a safety, then we could have gotten 2 positive yards. In my opinion, if you're going to do anything on fourth and two scenario, it is only a go for it or punt decision. Simple. Agreed, Robin. Personally, I'd punt. Okay. Keep the game going. Make Peyton try to score from a distance. Give your defense more than a handful of chances for something to happen, like a tip pass, drop pass, sack, maybe even the pick. On the flip side, next time Coach Belichick goes for it under those circumstances, I hope he and Brady make sure that the routes called go at least a yard or two past the sticks. Robin, that's just, you know, I'm afraid that might just be too much common sense for this program. But a good email. All right. Very good. Very good. Here we go. John, assume a 40-yard net punt. How long would Peyton take to drive 40 yards? Keep in mind, he does need to complete a 40-yard pass. It will be a 40-yard pass interference. Oh, and your odds are wrong. I've read they're 59% in favor of making it. I'll send you that link. I saw it somewhere. What odds was I talking about? I don't even remember. Well, Peyton, a 40-yard drive. A 40-yard net punt is going to put the ball... Let's see, the 30-yard line, 50, 30. That's going to put the yard. That's going to put the ball 70 yards away. Where's your math, William? It would be how long would it take Peyton to drive 70 yards, not 40 yards? See? Kevin, I agree the call was silly, but it is the D's job to stop them. And they didn't get what of Belichick's ass? I don't understand that. I agree the call was silly, but it's the D's job to stop them. Okay, got it. All right, so I'm assuming that's a vote for punt. Yes, you're right. It is the defense's job to stop them. No question. Kelly, The ref screwed us again. Why is anyone surprised? Background would discover that at least one of these refs goes fishing with Archie Manning. So Kelly says, I vote to go for the 2 yards. That means play. Okay. All right, so let's see. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so that's I gotta add this up. Sorry, kids, it's on the fly here. All right, so that's 14. You know, I know this is scintillating radio. I can't add. Okay, there we go. Okay, here we go. Jack says, John, please stop dismissing anyone who disagrees with you. Why, Jack? Why? Why should I? It's all about arguing here. It's all about, you know, now, I didn't say you had the wrong opinion. I'm just trying to make a point for my opinion. I'm not dismissing. If I was dismissing you, why do you think I would even read the email? Everyone who voted for play, you call a homer or say they're drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't think that Bill didn't trust the D. I think he recognized that they were beat and didn't think they had a chance against Manning. Listen to what you're saying, Jack. Listen to what you're saying. Recognized they were beat and didn't think they had a chance against Manning. Wow. I'm sure he's going to stand up to his defense and tell them that. Jack, I'm not going to stop dismissing anybody who disagrees with me. That's the whole point of this conversation. I just read your email. So, you know, I may disagree with you. Doesn't mean that I'm dismissing you. Okay? Dave says, punt the ball and quit playing prevent defense. Fair enough. Phil says, in New Jersey, have to punt the friggin' ball. Okay, good enough. Well, you know what those last two just did? They just tied it up. 18-18. 18 people have voted for punt. 18 people have voted for play. And this is just since we started the show at 2 p.m. Eastern time today. I've got, by my count, 7 more minutes left on this program. Is there anybody out there that has not had their say? Anybody at all? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number. All right, and you'll have your chance to break the tie, and let's see which way we go. Play or punt? That's what we're looking for. Play or punt? 18 apiece. All right, this just in from WEEI. Mike Petralia, who covers sports for WEEI.com, he says, Doc Rivers, head coach of the Celtics, weighed in on the call following Celtics practice today. Asked if he had any reaction to the uproar over Bill Belichick's decision to go for it on 4th-and-2 from his own 28. Rivers is an avid NFL fan, and he replied, quote, you read your team, and if you like your team, you take risks. That's what you do. But you don't get do-overs in coaching, and that's the difference. Everything else, you get to sit around and talk about it after the fact. In coaching, you make your decision, and you don't apologize for it. That's actually a pretty good answer. You don't get do-overs. Everything else, you get to sit around and talk about it after the fact. In coaching, you got to make your decision. You don't apologize for it. And that's exactly what Coach Belichick has done. That's why, you know, anybody who expected him to perform a mea culpa in the post game or yesterday on the radio or whatever, you expected him to say, I'm sorry I wouldn't have done that. No way that was ever going to happen. If you think you know Bill Belichick at all, then you had to know there was no way he would ever apologize. He's sticking to his guns, and that's that. That would have been a bigger shock to me than him going for it on 4th-and-2 at his own 28. That clearly would have been a bigger shock if he had actually said, you know what, I screwed up, lay it all on me. Even though some of us who agree that he should have punted the ball, some of us thought that he should have said that. You know what?
I never said that.
You know, no.
I never said that.
That's true. You didn't. But some of us who think he should have punted, not all of us because I'm not one of them, but some of us think he should have just apologized so we could all move on. No,
nope. Kidding me?
Not going to happen. He never has. He never will.
It is what it is.
That's exactly right, Bill. That's his character. He doesn't apologize for Jack. He doesn't apologize for anything. He sticks to his guns. And Doc Rivers happens to agree. I like that. Hey, Here we go. A little news inside the NFL today. Statement has been released that Dick Geron has been fired as head coach of the Buffalo Bills. How about that? Ralph Wilson. I am announcing today that I am relieving Dick Geron from his duties as our head coach, effective immediately. I have tremendous respect for Dick and thank him for all of his efforts during these past 4 years. While this was a very difficult decision, I felt that it is one that needed to be made at this time for the best interest of our team. We will now focus on moving forward and preparing for our game this week in Jacksonville. The team has not yet announced who the interim coach will be, but defensive coordinator Perry Fuel is believed to be a leading candidate. Now, the firing comes only a day after defensive end Aaron Schobel questioned the team's direction, and 2 days after a late-game meltdown against the Tennessee Titans. Can't say that I'm surprised that that happened. I thought, frankly, that Geron would last the season, then once the season was over, he'd probably be one of the first, if not the first, coach to go. That was my own personal thought. But Ralph Wilson showing that, you know what, he does have some sense still about him. And he has fired Dick Geron. So the Patriots will face a Dick Geron-less team in a few weeks when they've got a... Excuse me.
Pleasure.
Thank you. That's never happened. I was right in mid-word, and all of a sudden, boom, sinuses hit me. Oh, my God, H1N1. That's what everybody says every time I sneeze now. Oh, you got H1N1. No, I don't. I'm feeling fine. Thank you very much. God, Buffalo's so far, yeah, really. Buffalo's so far on down the pike, I'm just like, when the hell do we even play them now? I've been so focused on everything else. So, at any rate, so the Buffalo Bills have fired Dick Geron as their head coach.
December 20th.
Thank you. December 20th. Right. Joshua, let's see if we get any tiebreakers here. This one looks like Josh. It's for, he must be listening to the podcast. Because he's sent this off to Andy. So you know what, Joshua? I'm going to save it for that because you sent it during the wrong time there, pal. Todd says, John, if it was Chad Henne on the other sideline, we punt. But Peyton Manning is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to score whether it's 30 yards or 70 yards with a game on the line. He's done it too many times in the past. Bill isn't afraid to make the gutsy call and play to win the game. This is why Bill Belichick will be in the Hall of Fame and coaching that punt won't be.
Hello, you play to win the game.
Right. Okay, I get that. I get that. I understand your logic. I just don't happen to agree with it, Todd. So no matter how you phrase it, it's not going to change the way I think. And besides, think about what you're saying here, all right? He's going to score whether it's 30 or 70 yards. Well, that's a hell of a lot of confidence in the defense, isn't it? You're telling me now that they're just going to push the ball around whether it's 30 or 70? So why the hell even have the defense out there? Why the hell punt earlier in the game when it was fourth and whatever? You see the logic in that? That's why I said earlier, you know what? We should never punt the ball on fourth and two or less again if we're to follow some of the logic that I've read today. It would be stupid. John says, enough. We have a game on Sunday. Will the Jets use last week's debacle to build up momentum? Well, they're trying to, because one of the things that you may have seen, I know I saw it on Pro Football Talk earlier, was that Coach cried talking to his team yesterday. Yeah, Big Rexy, he cried. He got emotional talking about his team and how I believe in you guys, and he cried. And that comes straight from the Jets locker room. Wow. I know. So I don't know if the Jets are going to use the debacle to build up momentum. I mean, yeah, they kind of choked it at the end of Jacksonville and lost the game. You know, who knows? The Patriots have been earmarked this game since week two, since they lost, 16-9. And I don't think it'll have any effect one way or the other, to be quite honest with you. I really don't. So... no, I don't think it'll have any effect at all. All right, well, looks like we're going to have to say that it was even Steven here because we're at the end of the program, and we have exactly 18 votes, unofficial tally here, but based on the emails that I've counted just since 2 p.m. Eastern time today, it was punt the ball, 18 votes, make the play, 18 votes.
So ridiculous.
Well, it just tells me the Patriot Nation, and especially those that listen here in the program, are split down the middle. Now you understand why there have been differing points of views. There have been some definitive points of views. There have been some vociferous points of views, lots of arguing. People have said, hey, don't dismiss my opinion. Well, no, I'm not dismissing it. I just don't happen to agree with it. That's what we do here. We argue. We nitpick. And that's what we do on Tuesdays. And this has been an extraordinary Nitpick Tuesday. Thank you, everybody, for taking part today. I'm not surprised that this ended up down the middle. I'm really not. Play was leading in the early running, and the punt made a late comeback in the voting tallies. And I'm not surprised at that result at all. I expected it to be about 50-50, and that's exactly what we got today. Just says that, you know, we're all passionate about the sport. We're passionate about the Patriots. And I think, you know, it's you know, time to see now what this team is truly made of. Can we use this past week as a seminal moment in the season? Will it go on and make this team better? Or will we be revisiting this from week after week because of the team's failures? We're going to begin to find out this Sunday. It's Jets time here in Foxborough. Tomorrow on the program, 2:15. Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential. He'll join us in the playbook. And Roderick Boone from Newsday, New York Newsday newspaper. He'll join us in the 3 o'clock hour tomorrow as we turn our attention to the JETS. By the way, don't forget, there's a pre-holiday season sale going on at the Patriots Pro Shop. You get a free $10 gift certificate with a purchase of $50 or more at the Patriots Pro Shop and at patriotsproshop.com. So make sure you surf on over. There are 100 items for $10 or less. There are 250 items for $25 or less. And again, you get the free $10 gifty with a purchase of $50 or more. So go to patriotsproshop.com for complete details. Good enough. We'll do that. Same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow, kids.